Thanks very much, musicians. You are very welcome, everybody. Let's open in prayer, shall we? Father, we're gathered in your name to praise and worship you, and we thank you for your promise of being with us. May we hear your voice and respond. Amen. Today is the Sunday in the church calendar which we have designated Mission Sunday. Now, what comes to your mind if you think of mission? We have a slide, first slide, Lorraine. Yes, maybe you think of Mission Impossible, the film, Tom Cruise, the hero. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is, well, what is the mission? Always to stop an enemy force and to prevent some impending global disaster. Next slide. Or maybe you think of the even earlier film series, 007, James Bond, British secret agent, thwarts the baddies, ensures justice. You can see there the star of the latest film, Skyfall. No, the star's not Daniel Craig, he's just some actor. It's the car. It's an Aston Martin DB5 from 1960, packed with gadgets. So what's the common theme in these films? It's do something in order to achieve something. And it's the same in the Christian context. Jesus gave the apostles a mission. It's called the Great Commission. It's in all four Gospels, and it's in Acts, the last recorded words of Jesus before ascension. Next slide. There you've got them. Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And there is another sentence. We'll come back to that later. Well, it must have seemed a tall order at the time to those apostles, you know. All nations? We've got limited means and we've only got legs or maybe a donkey at best for transport. But God had it sorted. The centuries early diaspora of the Jews all over various surrounding nations had resulted in them becoming nationals of all countries speaking all languages. But Acts 2 tells us that they were gathered in Jerusalem for the festival, the annual festival. The Spirit-filled apostles, they plucked up courage, they preached the gospel, and miraculously, all of the foreigners could understand what they were saying, as if it were in their own tongue. So the message did spread amongst the nations. Then you get Philip and Peter, missionaries, going north, south, west, within Israel. And then Paul and his fellow travelers going even further afield, three or even four missionary journeys to the dispersed Jews and to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world, the non-Jews. So the message spreads all over the Roman Empire, and indeed Christianity was adopted by the Roman Empire. So you get Christian England, but then the Angles and the Saxons come, the heathens, and so the Celts and the Christianity has to move west, and then Augustine has to come again and re-Christianize the east of England. Then later you get the New World discovered. The message has never been heard. Catholic missionaries set off, and then Protestant missionaries. You get William Carey, Baptist Missionary Society. He did India in 1792. And David Livingstone, the explorer and missionary, working with the London Mission Society and evangelical. He did Africa, of course, in the mid-decades of the 1800s. And then in modern days, the gospel is known everywhere, but has it been adopted? We needed the likes of Billy Graham and J. John to bring evangelistic missions to developed English-speaking countries. Modern missionaries still take the word to unreached people groups. But what of present-day mission of Milford Baptist Church and of Milford Baptist Church members? How are we involved? How do we deliver good works and service and the gospel message? Well, we'll hear of that soon. But first, let's spend some time singing our praise and worship to the Lord with two songs. He is the Lord and he reigns on high, and then in adoration we bow before your throne.
gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation.
So, what of MBC then doing mission? Well, MBC does mission at home. Lots of examples, youth and children's work, toddlers. But today we're going to focus on what MBC does corporately by way of mission overseas. And our first example is MFA, Mechanics for Africa. Founded 24 years ago by Milford Baptist Church, holistic tertiary training college for underprivileged Zambians, teaching skills for employment, life skills, and crucially, offering the gospel to all. Governance is through a body of trustees, and MBC appoints two trustees. That's Peter Herring and Susie Mooney. Susie Mooney is the deputy chair. And so Susie has come along this morning to tell us more about how MFA does mission. Thanks, Susie.
Good morning, everybody. Well, it's lovely to be back again to share the latest about MFA. So I'm just going to have a little introduction, and then we are fortunate enough to have a film that the staff at MFA have put together for us. So hopefully that will really bring to life for you an update for MFA. So as Ed has said, it's a college in Ndola in Zambia, where young people are trained in technical skills. Now, as a lot of you know, originally it was just motor mechanics, but this year we were pleased to extend that to another course in clerical operations. We aim to target the poorest young people in Zambia to equip them with skills that will empower them to lift them and their families out of poverty. But the college doesn't just teach technical skills. There is a whole additional curriculum that we teach in life skills. So that can range from practical things like first aid and health and safety. We teach them business skills, IT, English skills, driving lessons, but also being a Christian college, we also teach spiritual guidance. And our aim is that the students will graduate with so much more than just technical skills, and that they will graduate as men and women of good character and great potential. So, as I say, we've got a short 5-minute film to show you what spiritual guidance looks like in the college. And you'll see, first of all, we'll start off, you'll see meet Chiso, who is our spiritual guidance coordinator. And then you'll also see Malamar, who works quite closely with him because she is the student coordinator. And then towards the end, we have Tishu, who is one of our mechanical lecturers. And he only graduated from us about 3 years ago and was a shining star at that point as a student. And he went out and worked in industry for a year, and then we headhunted him back, and we've trained him up as a lecturer, and he is making a superb contribution to the group. But I will let Lorraine press the start button on the film.
Hi, my name is Chisombola Champalama, and I am the Discipleship Coordinator at Mechanics for Africa. I'm so excited to tell you about the various programs that we have. These programs help us to prioritize not only academic excellence, but the spiritual growth of our students as well. We have programs lined up that help our students to go through college and grow and talk about different aspects of life, where they learn so many things about Jesus and themselves.
Hi, my name is Malama. I am the Student Life Coordinator. I work hand in hand with the Discipleship Coordinator, and I just want to read you a scripture. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2 says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We believe that discipleship is vital for kingdom growth as well as the development and growth of our students. For us, it's not just an opportunity to share our experience to them or what we think is right, but it's a chance to preach and teach the word according to how we have received it. Just as the scripture here tells us that we should entrust, or tells Timothy that he should entrust whatever teaching he has learned to faithful men who can teach others, we see ourselves as those faithful men. Those that have been entrusted to take the word and the gospel and preach it to the students that are here. And our prayer is that it impacts them the same way it has impacted us.
Chapel is a beautiful platform that allows the body of MFA to come together, both students and staff members, and just enjoy fellowship together. During chapel, we have hymns, we sing songs together, we share prayer, and that's where we receive teachings from particular speakers. Chapel is a beautiful time where we come together and just get closer to the Lord, and we worship as a team. It's a beautiful opportunity to just share what we are going through, share how we're experiencing the Lord, and it's such a wonderful experience for everyone. Mechanics for Africa as an institution has core values that it believes in. Chapel gives us an opportunity to talk to our students, talk to the full body of Mechanics for Africa about these core values, these biblical core values, because that is the basis upon which everything that we do at Mechanics for Africa is set.
Okay. So One of the advantages that I can say that comes with discipleship and mentorship classes, such as speech or guidance here at Mechanics for Africa, are that when students graduate, they will not just leave with the skill that they will get here, but they will know Christ and they will know and understand why Christ died for them. Most of the students that we have here come with a background without full understanding of what being a Christian is. But when they come here at Mechanics for Africa, they are exposed to the full understanding of what it means to be a Christian. So the benefits that we come with the courses that we offer here under discipleship and spiritual guidance is that they grow spiritually, and it helps them to become good people out there, people of integrity, people of honesty, people that love Christ, and they just have a good relationship with each other because they understand that Christ first loved them, so they end up loving each other because of the spiritual guidance, discipleship and mentorship classes that we have here at Mechanics for Africa. So I think teaching these courses fully help students to develop not only in the skills, not only in the physical aspects, but also in the biblical concepts that they understand what it means to be a Christian. Thank you.
Spiritual guidance and mentorship provide our students with a safe place to learn, grow, and take rest during this critical point in their life. It gives them an opportunity to explore the diverse questions and concerns about life in a safe, fun, loving, and God-centered environment. Mentorship boosts the growth of friendships while encouraging the formation of healthy support systems, showing each of our students that you do not have to do life alone.
Discipleship is an eternal investment and our greatest hope. We know that skill can get the man to great heights, but it is his character that keeps him. What greater character have we known than the character of Jesus Christ? We want our young men and women model after the life of Jesus, being as he was, a light to this world.
Thank you, Lorraine. I loved what Malamar just said at the end there, that spiritual guidance is an eternal investment. I mean, what better thing can you invest in? So, here we go. We've got just a couple of stories about two of our students, just to really specifically show you the impact on individual lives of how they feel that they've experienced the spiritual guidance. And you can see here Wilson Mwale is one of our students, and we're told there in the film that students have a safe space to learn, to grow, and to rest during this crucial time in their lives through initiatives such as the spiritual guidance classes. It provides them with a chance to investigate the various themes, queries, and concerns associated with adolescence in secure, enjoyable, caring, and God-centered setting. Now, Wilson here is a first-year student, and he says of his spiritual guidance class and experience, "I can proudly say that term one for me has been a very good experience. I have been privileged to be part of spiritual guidance. As I can testify, it is not just any other program, but a platform to learn and grow spiritually. Before I was exposed to spiritual guidance, I used to be very short-tempered. But it's not the case now, as I have come to learn to control my temper and build a very strong relationship with God. My favorite topic so far is sin, as it stands out not only as a topic, but a mirror for me as I now confidently and boldly roam around, because I am no longer a slave to my old habits, including addictions. I have come across different topics, all molding me into what I can define as upright, being free from issues with my father, among others, and it's all thanks to MFA for spiritual guidance." And the next example we've got is from one of our students on the clerical operations course. So this is the cohort. And here is Ruth. So we've, just by way of background to the clerical operations course, we felt that mechanics was attracting a lot of male students, and we wanted to also reach out to the more females. So we're delighted to have witnessed a rise in the number of female students as a result of this course. Now, clerical skills refers to the ability to undertake various administrative activities, whether it's filing, typing, data entry, scheduling, effective communications, and of course, computing. A lot of our students haven't even touched a computer before, let alone used one. So it's a really, really valuable skill for them. We appreciate that we're not able, many of the young ladies at the clerical operations have not attended school for quite a while, up to sort of 4 years, either due to a lack of funds or because they haven't been able to attend school regularly, and so that's affected their academic performance. So this includes Ruth. She has been out of school since 2016, so quite a long time. So she's a 24-year-old first-year clerical operations student, and she heard about us at her church during one of our recruitment drives. She was unable to move on up into higher education because she didn't do very well in her final high school exam. And she spent most of her time at home using her gift of braiding hair to raise money for her upkeep. And she was able to raise a total of 800 kwacha, which is about £18. And when we asked Ruth to share her experience, she said this. One thing that stood out for me during the MFA visit to our church was when you emphasised that we will accept you even if you have the lowest grades. That gave me hope. So I quickly grabbed a form and applied. I had lots of thoughts after receiving my acceptance letter, including how I would cope returning to school after a long absence and if I would enjoy the course, but it's been a great experience so far. So we pray that all the ladies that are on this course have, can be encouraged to play an active role in their development and provide them with access to new jobs and professions and knowledge and information to empower and improve their lives. And then just to add as well about the spiritual guidance, in general, one thing that the film didn't cover was something that I witnessed in my visit out there last year, was the spirit, the sort of discipleship for staff. You know, the students come from very challenging backgrounds, and many of them have lost one or both parents, as well as living in great poverty. And it takes a lot from the staff. The staff passionately care about those students, and they give so much, and it's really important that they have the opportunity to come together as staff and spend that time recharging their spiritual batteries. And that's something that Guarneri introduced when she started at the college, is that she timetables time in the working day and in the working week for the staff to get together. And they will study Christian books, they'll study, you know, do Bible studies, and they'll importantly pray for one another. And you really see that they are so keen to apply their faith to their day-to-day work. So do remember that not just the students, but the staff, because they do give so much, and as you can see, such valuable work. So thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the film, because it was really great.
Thanks very much, Susie. That's very uplifting to hear about the real impact being made in the world. And Susie, I know that you got to dash off afterwards because your husband's in a bicycle ride supporting funds.
It's been strange for a couple of weeks because on some areas on the route, believe it or not,
okay.
It's going to be raining. So in 2 weeks' time, they're going to do their rural routes around the M25. So it's the local country lanes that they're cycling around. They're around the M25. And a couple of work colleagues are doing that. So it's about 150 miles.
Right, wonderful. Okay. We'll think of him. Time now for another praise and worship song. My Jesus, my Saviour.
Come.
Please be seated. Our second example then is the Compassion Organisation. There are many churches in overseas underdeveloped countries that have got human resources, but they don't have financial resources to do mission work. And so Compassion is an organisation that gathers donations from individuals and from churches and funnels it to these overseas churches to enable them to do mission in their countries. They provide top-up education, healthcare, meals, and crucially, the gospel. And Compassion have put together a 3-minute video to tell us about it. Thanks.
Most of these children grow up in a place where, you know, they're never taught to dream. Their parents are struggling to provide just a meal for the day. How do you tell a child that there is a future for you when you can barely give them little basics? Most children who come from that kind of background, they truly have no hope. Compassion comes in as a change.
Compassion partners only with the church, the community. They know the church, they know the pastors.
Compassion came in this church to help our people. They're giving food to them. They're dressing them. They're giving money to send them to school. That is a great change in this church.
Through the sponsorship, Clay, she's able to truly have a glimpse of hope. Clay's sponsor truly makes a difference in her life. She has an opportunity now to know that she can dream. She can be somewhere. She can go to school.
When I see the testimonies, when I see the results, when I see the children that have been transformed from nothing to somebody, from hopelessness to joy, to fulfillment, because of the ministry, their lives are transformed.
You're giving the local pastor an opportunity to change lives. And not just to change lives through school or through food, to teach the gospel, to truly, truly be the light in that community.
When we partner with that church, the program is very effective because the community, the local people, they own it, they appreciate it, that God has given the church that mandate to minister to children, to minister to people. The church is God's instrument that we have, that we are sure of, that we are confident in.
That's equipping the pastor and giving them the opportunity to go to the parents and say, we know it's hard, but we share Christ and we want you to be part of that. And I think that's the greatest important thing that you give into the local pastor to reach out to people that they would never have reached, but also an opportunity to further God's kingdom.
Compassion have come to give us a support, to take us away from the poverty. The love you have given us, it has changed our life and our people.
So some of the money that you give to Milford Baptist Church is passed on to the Compassion Organisation and enables that to happen. But it's not just that. There's also a personal connection. Milford Baptist Church sponsors a certain number of children, and Denise very kindly receives letters from these supported children and writes letters back to them. And she's agreed to say a few words based on the letters that she receives from them. Denise, thank you.
Good morning. Many of you will remember Molly Brown, who was a member here until being called home. Molly used to write to our four Compassion children. Following her passing, I was asked if I would like to continue this work. So in June 2015, I happily took over this task. Our four children at Compassion learn about faith, the nature of God, the fruits of the Spirit, discipline, as well as the importance of having time for personal study and reflection. They are taught how to plan for the future, manage finances, how to find and keep a job, as well as interacting with others. They all have access to medical care. They learn how to have a healthy lifestyle, as well as first aid, HIV and AIDS, and much, much more. Each has the love of a local church where they have the opportunity to hear the gospel. As I have said, we have four children that we sponsor. Lena, who lives in Indonesia, is now 12 years old. Wilson lives in Uganda and he's 18. Barbara lives in Brazil and is now 17. And 16-year-old Marvin's lives in Haiti. Lena does not speak English, but her letters arrive having been translated, which I'm very grateful for. The last letter received from her was dated the 26th of January this year, telling me that she went to church on Christmas Day and loved singing the carols. Wilson in Uganda writes regularly and always finishes with a Bible verse. The last one was from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which says, "I alone know the plans for you, the plans to prosper you, but not to fail you, but to earn you a living." One of the many things Wilson is encouraged at school to do is memorizing Bible verses, and I can imagine what a tremendous encouragement that verse must be. Barbara in Brazil has been struggling with various things recently, and I won't go into those. I reminded her not to forget to tell the Lord just how she was feeling and ask for his help. The last letter I received was much more positive, and Barbara can stay at the project until she is 22. All these children need our prayers, especially Marvin's in Haiti, who is 16 years old, and he too can also remain at the project until he is 22. However, some of you will recall that I drew Marvin's to your attention a few weeks ago, as there is a lot of trouble in Haiti. Political instability, economic insecurity, food scarcity, all of which have caused violence to dominate in major cities. Some church partners in areas with high levels of gang violence have temporarily paused meetings at the Compassion Project. I rang Compassion in this country, who agreed to let me know if Marvin's is directly impacted, and they promised to keep me posted. Perhaps we could all remember Compassion, the Compassion children in our prayers, in particular, for the violence to end in Haiti, and for Marvin's and our Compassion children and their families to be kept safe at all times.
Thanks very much, Denise. We really appreciate the time that you spend on that, and thank you for the talk. And we'll remember the things that you mentioned in prayer a little later on. So we've had two examples, Mechanics for Africa and Compassion, where MBC as an organisation supports those mission activities. And very probably individuals in the church also at the personal level support MFA and possibly probably Compassion as well. And there are probably other things which you as individuals, as members of the church, do in your own right, in a personal capacity, by way of mission. Some I think I know about, and I guess there's much else that I don't know about. Now, it's not fair to pick on one person, but I'm going to anyway. So I'm picking on Lorraine, because I know that Lorraine does street angels, and she's going to speak a little on that. Thanks very much, Lorraine.
Hello. Just going to put my jacket on. It's got about 40 pockets in it, and I can never remember where I've put each thing. So I've been doing street angel duties for 10 years this August, although of course that was interrupted by lockdown in 2020. A street angel commits to 12 or 13 duties a year, so once every 4 weeks on a Friday or Saturday night. I started on Friday nights, but soon switched to Saturday nights as there appeared to be a little bit more action on those nights.
When did you hear on a Friday night?
Exactly. Nowadays, there's generally four people in two teams, sometimes five people, because one is on a taster night, so that's first night out to see how they deal with it, or a visitor comes along, i.e. Guildford councillor or a newspaper reporter, or even the High Sheriff of Surrey. Ooh, she was in my team. Our current base is in St Mary's Church, Quarry Street, and that was originally built in 950. It's a beautiful building. And when we go in there for a break, it feels like a real sanctuary away from the hubbub and madness that some evenings bring. We wear this jacket, we have fleeces or polo shirt when we're on duty. All these are reflective, so we're quite visible. We have radios that are linked to all the venues, and Victor Tango, which is the closed circuit TV operator, watching the many cameras that are in operation in Guildford 24/7. We can be directed to people in need of assistance by Victor Tango or any other venue's door staff. Or of course, the two teams or three teams, whatever, can communicate via the radios. Each team has a rucksack with all manner of helpful stuff, like first aid kit, foil blankets, water, sick bags for car journeys home, wet wipes, evidence bag, never used, sharps box, never used, and a dustpan and brush. We sweep up any broken glass to dispose of safely. And flip-flops for the tired feet of girlies at the end of the night, going bare feet, because they can't walk another step in their impossibly high heels. We all carry lollipops to hand out. We're supposed to empty our pockets, but hey, I don't.
Lolly.
It's a welcome hit of sugar, or even a distraction if tempers are starting to fray a bit. The mission of street angels is to assist the vulnerable in whatever form that takes. We give a non-judgmental listening ear, connect with the rough sleepers to help where we can by buying them food or a hot drink, or signpost them to several homeless hostels. The organisation Host is for students, and they welcome any contact we send their way. We make a point of talking to as many door staff as we can. It's often their second job, and since they're only human, they have their own problems too. We also talk to the taxi rank stewards, who, in my opinion, are the true unsung heroes of the night, often stepping in, physically, to diffuse fights, arguments, or just simply bargaining with the taxi drivers to take someone home who is clearly the worse for wear. Our shift starts at 11 p.m. and ends around 3:30-ish. Before we go out onto the streets, we pray together for safety, harmony, and well-being for everyone out that night. We also pray that God will lead us to where He wants us to be. It's often the case we feel that we were indeed led to a particular person or situation where our Christian approach was especially appreciated. What's my plan? From someone separated from their group with no money and no means of getting home, recently bereaved folk, a uni student missing home, a homeless man in sheltered accommodation desperately trying to stay away from alcohol and drugs, the recently divorced, or someone who's fallen out with family or friend or partner, soldiers from Borden, Aldershot and Sandhurst, a long way from home. A worrying situation now occurring more and more frequently is drinks being spiked with drugs. All these things are obviously made worse by too much alcohol, but not everyone has had too much to drink. But some of them, it's really too much sometimes. For some, the alcohol makes them tearful and emotional. For others, it makes them aggressive and challenging. And for some, it makes them unresponsive and apparently unconscious. We are the caring voice of calm to these people. We stay with them until they are on their way home. I've come to appreciate that we're all broken and to some degree or another. We all need assistance at times. We're often asked why we actually do what we do without payment. Some think we're trying to bargain our place in heaven. Others think we're simply mad. Without knowing it, they've given us the opportunity to tell them that we do it as a thankful response to what we already have, salvation. Salvation through Jesus' death on the cross. This quite often leaves no impression, but a few ask more questions. Some people are thirsty to have a more meaningful reason to live. And when I'm feeling bold in God, and it feels safe to do so, I've offered to pray for their situation. If they agree readily to that, I've also suggested we pray there and then. Hold my breath. And that offer has never been turned down to date. It's encouraging, and I really should suggest it more often. A prayer might be that we're all emboldened to speak the name of Jesus into any situation, and that we prayerfully and hopefully strive to reflect, like these, the love of God.
Thanks very much, Lorraine. God bless you and all those who work with you. We're going to sing again. Our next song speaks of mission. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is high. I just want to speak the name of Jesus out of the fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness of every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus. Within his presence, I speak Jesus.
Thanks very much. Just sit down. So, mission work has been done and still is being done all down the ages. Why? What's been the great driving force? Well, first, we go back to the words that Jesus said. Matthew 28 records a final sentence. You'll see it up on the screen. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So when Jesus said that to the apostles in front of him, who was he actually speaking to? Who did he mean those words for? It doesn't really make sense if it was just those limited individuals with their limited lifespan. To the very end of the age? So I think we can interpret that Jesus was in fact talking to, yes, those apostles in front as the first church, and all members of the church as time would go on. I think Jesus was speaking to the church then and the church in the future. And that means that those words were meant for Milford Baptist Church and for all of us. Jesus's words, all of those words on the screen, were for all generations of Christians. And that's how people have seen it down the ages. Jesus's final words have, I think, been the motivation of all mission work and still are. Next slide, please. So the Baptist movement was founded with the Declaration of Principles to try and bring together different Baptist churches which might have different views on particular details, but the principles would be the three items which would integrate the Baptist churches. And the third principle you can see is that it is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to take part in the evangelization of the world. And the second item, let's just take a part of our Milford Baptist Church covenant of membership. One of the responsibilities is to make known and demonstrate the gospel to those I meet and to those in the wider world. And the last item, our MBC values, live, share, celebrate. Sometimes we have a banner up. And the share bit has two subheadings, to be missionary and to be servant-hearted. So mission is embedded in our faith. Why? Well, because Jesus said so in the Great Commission. Well, how are we supposed to do it then? Are we all supposed to get a soapbox and a loud hailer and take ourselves onto the streets? Well, no, not entirely anyway. Next slide, please. There's this well-known quote, "Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words." Attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but apparently nobody can find a record of him saying it. And the Franciscans say he didn't say it, but somebody said it. But it's been improved on. Another version is this one. The difference is when necessary, use words, not if necessary. If necessary suggests it might not be, and when necessary, yeah, it will be necessary sometimes. But not all the time is preaching the gospel using words. Next slide, please. This is what Francis of Assisi said. It's no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. So Jesus still speaks to each one of us through the Great Commission. How can we respond? Number one, I suggest, is power. Power. Prayer. Prayer is power. I'll start again. Prayer is powerful. Prayer for the mission work of others. The second thing we can do, if we have the means, then we can give financial support for mission work. Support to Milford Baptist Church, support to MFA, compassion, and our own favourite mission works. Number three, how other people see us can also be mission work. Who we are, what we stand for, our behaviours, the examples we set, how we live our lives. It's quiet, it's passive, but it's still of very great impact. Fourthly, then, there's the active. there's acts, deeds of kindness, showing Jesus' love in practical ways. And finally, of course, there is what we say, explaining the gospel, using words. So the Great Commission still lives for all of us. And it wasn't a great suggestion. Jesus didn't say, hey, if you have time in your busy lives, if it sort of fits in, have a think about. No, it wasn't the great suggestion. It was the Great Commission. It was a command from Christ himself. So let's spend some time in prayer. Lord, may we all heed your words and obey, helped by the Holy Spirit, taking every opportunity. And we pray too for others doing mission through MFA, Compassion, and the likes of Street Angels. Lord, empower them, we pray. And we pray for the MFA students we've heard about, Ruth and Wilson. Please bless their studies and their faith journeys. We pray also for our Compassion children, Lena, Wilson, Barbara, and Marvin's. And especially we pray that unrest and violence in Haiti may cease, and for Marvin's and his family to be safe. Amen. So our closing song, I think we'll just do the first and the last verses, if we may. So, finish of our service. If anybody wants to come forward for prayer, otherwise, there's tea and coffee to the rear. So, as we leave, a blessing. Wherever we are, wherever we go, may we show and tell the good news of Jesus, and may the Holy Spirit bless us and keep us. Amen.